Good morning, everybody. About halfway through the gospel, I remember that Deacon Charlie is here and that he should have read the gospel. Sorry, Deacon. I've never done that before. There's a first. So my apologies, and don't turn me into the bishop. Here's the thing of I was thinking about a year or so ago, I read this book. It was recommended to me by another priest, and it's a Western. It's a Westerner. It's called Lonesome Dove. And there's a line in this book that really stuck with me, and it says, "The most important thing is to figure out what matters most in life." Like, what matters most in life? And Qoheleth, in our first reading in Ecclesiastes, he's trying to come to that same answer. He's trying to wrestle with that same question. And I kept reading on from where our first reading of vanity of vanity. Vanity just means nothing. It's like nothing of nothing. Like, nothing seems to matter, you know? Like, we live and then we die and then, like, what's the purpose, you know, the whole thing. And he keeps going, and it's kind of sad. I mean, he says, I gained all this knowledge, but then I got old and I lost. He said, I amassed for myself silver and gold, and then I lost it. I had vast herds of cattle and flocks of sheep, and they died. I built reservoirs of water, but then came the drought. I built houses and vineyards, gardens and parks, and fruit trees of all kinds, and they all blew away. He's trying to figure out, like, what matters. Like, nothing is permanent, nothing sticks, nothing stays. And he's wrestling with this question that the rest of the Bible then begins to answer. And Thomas Aquinas, in his Summa Theologica, he kind of was wrestling with the same thing. Like, what is the thing that matters? Like, in what does man's happiness consist? And he tries out a bunch of different things. I printed this out last night. Does happiness consist in wealth? Does man's happiness consist in wealth? Is that the thing that matters? Or in honor? Or in fame? In power? In any good of the body? Muscles, looks, all those things? In pleasure? In any created good? He goes through each one of them and wrestles with this, and he says, bottom line is, with all of these things, wealth, honor, fame, power, goods of the body, pleasures, created things, he says, A, you can never have enough of them. Like, you get money, and then you think, well, I need more money. And then you think, well, I need more than that, and more than that. You chase one pleasure after another, he says, and besides, a lot of these pleasures are mortally sinful. And he says, but even there are good pleasures, but still, with the good pleasures, you it's there for a second, and then it's gone, and created goods, you could rejoice in those, but then they blow away with the wind, you know, and what's the thing that matters, he goes. And then at the end of it all, he says, he comes to the conclusion that God alone constitutes man's happiness. That God alone is the one who will always satisfy. You don't need more God, because God is everything. God is all. And so God satisfies the longing of the human heart. God satisfies because we always want more, and God is the fulfillment. He is totality. He is all in all. And so he says, God will always satisfy. These other things, never enough, but God will always satisfy. And he says, these other things pass away, but God will never pass away. One time, one day, all of created world, all of creation will fade away into nothingness. But God endures. God endures. And he says, woe to us if we spend our lives chasing after something here because it will one day go into nothing. Like the poor guy in the gospel, I know what I'll do. I'll build a bigger barn and then a bigger barn and then I'll have more stuff. And then you don't see a U-Haul attached to the hearse, as they always say, you know? You can't take it with you. God alone matters. And sometimes you just kind of want to shake the world right now, because the world is chasing after these things, and none of it makes you happy. None of it makes one satisfied or fulfilled, but God does. Jesus Christ, he says, so what if you gain the whole world, but you forfeit, you pay for it with your soul and go to hell? Not worth it. But Jesus is worth it. And Jesus becomes the anchor of our life, so that whatever else comes and goes, the ups and the downs of life, I'm okay because I have Jesus. I have Jesus. And that's the answer to Koheleth's problem of nothing meaning anything or making sense. God, it all makes sense in God. He is, it's like the second reading, seek the things of above, says Colossians, seek the things of heaven. And Christ is all in all. All in all. Inside the tabernacle, one of my favorite things to do is to pray in front of Jesus in the tabernacle and let all of my life be like taken into his heart in the tabernacle and then pulsated out, and then it all makes sense in Jesus. But if you take out Jesus, nothing makes sense and nothing has purpose and nothing has joy. But with Jesus is everything. That is why even the very poorest Catholic is rich, and rich indeed, because we have Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Pope John Paul II, he said, inside that one singular host is the answer to every one of your problems, every one of your wrestlings, every one of your dreams is fulfilled in the one single host that we receive at Mass. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.